You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Step on inside, get in from the cold. Welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me, as always, is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I don't know. It's kind of a mixed bag, to be honest with you.
Mixed bag, yeah.
Went to the store this morning, and when I put my pants on, I got to tighten my belt one extra, you know, spot on the loop.
Ooh, slimming down.
I seem to be losing some girth, but I also feel fatter still, so I'm wondering if it's all just shifting up.
Oh, your stomach's getting higher?
Is that how that works?
I've often heard that gravity is defied by nothing but age. Yes, that's an old axiom for sure.
So that's how my morning went.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm house sitting for my sister, and she's got a little pug, and it's full of energy, and it's a pug puppy, and I think pugs are the ugliest fucking dog in the world.
What?
Yes, I do.
Pug puppies are... You're going to alienate some listeners with that.
I know. I'm a villain. Everybody I sent pictures to were like, that's the most adorable dog. And I'm like, okay, all right. I'm the outlier.
I think in the episode description, there will definitely be a YouTube clip of pug puppies.
I'm going to have to issue a public Twitter apology. I'm sorry. I don't hate puppies. Pugs aren't ugly. They're adorable. They don't look like their face got smashed against the glass. Not at all.
They're pugly.
What fun digressions. Come on in the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way around, trying to get a complete set of fine china from all those little shards, sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut losses, trading stocks, options, futures.
How does that work? Smashing China, trying to get a complete set? Like, did you just write that down wrong, or is there a joke in there I'm missing?
Yeah, the joke is it's impossible for us to ever get a complete set.
Oh.
Our method is flawed. Yeah, that's been since day one, and
you've always said it like that.
I have always said it like that.
I thought you'd been saying we were smashing our way through a complete set of fine China.
No. What fun. Finally found the Easter egg.
Wow, I learned something new every day.
Yeah, right? If you are new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center or our Resource Center on financialneptitude.com. You can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We have all those links in the episode description. But the best place to be is hop on our free Discord server. Kyle and I get on there every day. It's really just an awesome place full of wonderful people sharing all their thoughts too. We're just having a great time. There aren't any paid tiers or special access areas.
And they're not just sharing wins. We're also sharing struggles and how we're overcoming them.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, key to a good community. If the community you're in's not doing that right now, you should find another one, whether it's ours or someone else. But find someone you can learn from, too.
Yes, please do. It's only going to help yourself. Don't trade in a void. That's not the best way to do it, I've found.
Yes, that too.
When you do join that server, send us a private message or email with your mailing address. We'll send you some Smash It Yourself swag straight from the shop. We're just so glad you're here. It's so much fun, and it's better with friends. That brings me to my next question. Do we have any show news? Any exciting things?
We have, yes. Remember the Kay White interview that we've been promoting for the last month?
Yes.
And I thought his name was Kevin, and I wanted to call him Kevin. His name is Kevin. Super excited to be right on that. Kevin White coming up this week. Rich Friesen the week after that. Eric Mason, Anthony Vecino. Other news too is we are working on a new trailer. So if anybody wants to help out, they can submit a short audio clip of why they think people should listen. They can send that to twobulls@financialineptitude.com, or they can just DM me in Discord.
Piece of cake, easier than pie. I might just be hungry. All right. Well, moving on, we have got a brisk, bumpy, buoyant episode for you today. Plenty of stocks on the radar, market moving news, more options than... I don't have one today, Kyle. I didn't prep for that.
More options than dead airspace in this joke.
All I could think of was war-related ones, and that seemed really grim.
No, that's poor taste.
Yeah.
We just have a lot of options today, guys.
Yes, a lot of options. No options joke today. Reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook. Discord, get that link in the episode description. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the number 2bulls at financialneptune.com. Or if you're ancient, you can actually give us a phone call, 725-22-BULLS. You can be young and call us, too. It's fine. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you've just moved to a new town and you're trying to flirt with some girl on the beach and some guy beats you up. So you find the apartment complex maintenance man to teach you how to fight. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out.
We do have a new review to read, too.
Ooh, okay.
Flower Power P wrote, the show is great, informative, honest, and comical. Thank you. We're not trying to be funny, but somehow that works out. No, I'm just kidding. This is not a serious show. Honest assessment of financial topics presented in a way that the uninformed listener can understand. The secret there is that we are also uninformed.
Yes.
The free Discord community is pretty sweet for those looking to learn more about trading and share their trading experiences. Thank you very much, Flower Power. Really appreciate the awesome 5-star rating.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Wonderful rating.
Yes.
Wonderful review. Very well spoken. I like how our listeners are grammatically competent.
I know, right? Show is good. Make trades better. 4-star.
Coco get 4-star. That's going to bring us right up to the bet results.
Ugh, God.
I look forward to this.
Don't think it matters who goes first. I got stopped out. You got stopped out. Target, 66. Or not Target, sorry. Bristol-Myers Squibb opened at 67.67. Hit my stop at 69. I was doing good for most of the week until Friday. Took my bet from 557.41 to end the month at 546.45.
You remember when you were like, you cannot trade and that's okay?
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck you! I should have done that because I would be like a dollar ahead of you if I'd done that. But instead, I went long Virgin Galactic SPCE with a tight stop at 8.
Too tight.
Hoping to catch the earnings. I should have just said I'm going to go long 10 minutes before close before they announce earnings.
Yeah.
I didn't. I entered at 8.13 a share on Monday. I got stopped out at 8. Brought my total down to 538.99. It is worth noting that Virgin Galactic closed at $9.18. It was, the earnings did exactly what I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what I expected. I just had a bad entry.
And do you remember Random with PBI?
Oh, yeah.
Remember how we were looking at how beautiful that entry was?
Yeah. How beautiful was it?
Random entered at 473 and then on Friday's rally, I don't even think it needed Friday's rally, finished at 491.
Ugh.
So Random closed out the month at 582.35.
Wow.
Almost doubled our gains. It's really disheartening.
Kyle, I'm wondering if we're doing this wrong. Like we just need to look at random stocks.
Maybe.
Say that's a good entry and then buy it.
Well, here's the thing, too. Random was going long on everything. Like, how do you go long on this downward market trend? Well, everything's
dropping.
And still double our performance, almost. We're going to need some consequences, so if anybody has any suggestions, email us, Discord, message them.
Yeah.
Need something good.
Yeah.
I've heard Velocipastor is a terrible movie that some people want us to watch.
Velocipastor. Oh, okay. Is that a raptor who's a pastor or a pastor who's a raptor?
I think it's a pastor who has the ability to turn into a raptor, but I'm not sure how that helps.
Son of a bitch. Oh, okay. All right. Is it time to move on to some news?
Yes, please.
I don't want to wallow in any more misery of the bet.
Oh, well, wait till we get to the news.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back. We got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies. Laws change overnight. Here we are. It's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now it's time for China Shop News.
Okay, all right, Kyle. What should we lead with?
I think the thing that's on everyone's mind right now is obviously the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Is definitely an invasion now at this point. Markets were definitely reacted in a very weird way, though. I mean, we fucking bombed, but the recovery on Friday was, at least for me, unexpected. But I think you had something that maybe explained that.
I came across something in on Reddit. You know, people were posting questions, and I was reading the comments, and the question was exactly what you asked, like, how is the market up today? And the top comment made a lot of sense, and was like, look, with Europe right in the middle of it, you know, Ukraine's right there, with all the European markets crashing and Russian markets crashing, I believe the Asian markets are down as well. The American market is geographically furthest from the fighting and is perceived as the safest place to put that money you're pulling out of the European market or the Russian market or any other market that's war adjacent.
Interesting. So what happens when the war is resolved?
Yeah, right. Then all the money flows back out. I did expect some pullback, but it was massive.
What was in the story you posted? Mega caps rallied after Russia invade?
Yeah, the big mega cap stocks like Microsoft, Alphabet, Apple, Amazon, even Meta, Nvidia, Berkshire Hathaway, all up, especially on Friday. Gist of the story, it was on Yahoo Finance, was all of these mega caps were already in a downtrend.
Right.
Like they weren't doing good for 2022. I actually posted a nice little graph they had of a year to date return for 2022 so far, and only Berkshire Hathaway
I did see that.
is posting a positive return. They're basically saying all of these companies were at perfect dip buying opportunities. And it all just lined up.
Well, it looks like everyone bought the dip one more time. One of the other things that was in your story that I think helped things was that people are thinking that the Fed is less likely to be too aggressive with their March rate hikes.
Yes.
In fact, there's at least one person that thinks that it's only going to be 25 basis points instead of the 50, regardless of whatever the inflation numbers that are released. But Fed's Waller has come out on Thursday and it says he's still willing to support the half point interest rate, and he thinks that a bigger hike in March might still be necessary. So I would have expected this statement to throw some cold water on that rally, but I guess it came Well, let me see. Was this Thursday or? Yeah, this came out Thursday.
So the rally happened after he said that.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is probably, yeah, still probably the bigger reason for this upward momentum or this dip buying.
Yeah, or, you know, and since it's so complex, it's probably a combination of everything. But it does seem, at least for now, people are trying to cherry pick a bottom short term or otherwise.
Yep.
Things were up.
And then also, sticking with the kind of the Ukraine theme, I saw something pop up about the Chinese media accidentally posting their rules on the Ukraine coverage.
Kyle?
Let me see if I can find the actual quote here. Here's the quote. In the future, China will also need Russia's help, Russia's understanding and support when wrestling with America to solve the Taiwan issue once and for all. It doesn't hurt to use moderately pro-Russian language. They're stopping short of like coming out and supporting it, but they're not criticizing it. And the reason why they're not criticizing it, it looks like, is because they may become emboldened to try to push to invade Taiwan and once and for all end that situation. That to me is, I don't know. I don't like seeing stuff like this. It makes me a little more nervous for something turning larger than just Ukraine.
That's some dangerous ingredients to be thrown in the same bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the whole thing has caused oil to surge, the price of oil.
Yeah, Russia's one of the massive exporters of natural gas and oil, too. So having any sort of disruption like that. I did see that Biden was going to release some of the strategic reserves to try to help, help ease the pain at the gas pump. But I was talking to the wife about this, and it feels kind of shitty that, like, the Biden's biggest concern is making sure Americans aren't too mad about paying a few extra dollars at the pump.
That's
potential for World War III on the horizon right now. I'm more worried about that. Figure that out first.
Well, it's the same. It's the same trap that the Fed if they fall into when you know they're getting told to like, no, don't taper, keep buying. I don't care what the economy is going to be like in 5 years. I don't want to piss people off now.
Yeah, the downside of pivoting every 4 to 8 years.
Every 4 to 8 years, right?
Yeah.
We can't make any long-term things. And then countries like China, their civilization is thousands of years old. So they think in really long terms. So right into their Russia statement, right? Like, they're not going to condemn Ukraine because they're looking forward. They're like, we've got a plan to annex Taiwan, just straight roll over them. We've got a plan, and we don't want Russia being pissed when we do that.
Yeah.
What a tangled knot.
We want Russia to remember. Yeah. What else was there? There was something else about the oil.
Oh, it's surged over $105 a barrel, and our...
Was that last week?
Our fracking companies are like, we won't increase supply.
That was last week, right?
Yeah, we mentioned that last week, huh?
All right, let's... We got anything else besides Ukraine?
Yes! The SEC!
What?
They've introduced new short sale rules.
Oh, they did something?
Yeah. Any investor who has a short position of $10 million or more, or the equivalent of 2.5% or more of the total shares outstanding, will have to report that at the end of the month.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, it's only, I guess, taking the volunteer out of it. Pretty much been voluntarily reported up to this point, right?
Yes. Take the volunteer out of it. The thing that I thought was strange was there was no mention with the rule they proposed last fall, that would require, the rule they proposed would require brokerages and asset managers that lend securities to short sellers to report the data on each loan to an oversight body like the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority within 15 minutes of making the loan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, you short sold something? All right. Within 15 minutes, you've got to register that with the regulatory authority.
This is still just proposed, though, right? This isn't actually...
This is a new proposal. I think I like the first one they went with, but they probably came up with this one because of the pushback.
Yeah, and I think the short selling interest usually updates every 2 weeks, so this is almost a step backwards, but at least it'd be forced.
Yeah, I guess, you couldn't keep these off of the dark pools.
Well, I mean, I guess there's always ways around everything, right? But at least there'd be a small fine for breaking rules now.
No more stern looks.
Yeah.
Now you got to pay us $5.
No more wag of the finger.
I noticed the 2.5%, 10 million more or 2.5% or more of the total shares outstanding, which would imply that they are trying to look out for, like, what if the company's not big enough where $10 million?
Right.
Like, I've shorted 9 million of it, but...
It's interesting they went with 2.5 because I think 5% is where they have to like file certain forms like to take an ownership stake.
Oh, because if you borrow 5% of the existing shares to sell, you're technically taking ownership of them?
No, if you buy 5% of a company, like normally you have to file some sort of paperwork.
Oh.
So it's interesting that they went with 2.5 on the short side.
Yeah. I assumed the 2.5 was just had to do more with valuation, and they wanted a way to see if they were massively shorting small cap.
Oh, I'm sure that's part of it. Progress. Only took, what, a year and a half?
It's really sad when proposing rules feels like progress.
I know. All right. Yeah. Time to move on?
I guess. Yeah, we can move on.
Do you have any more news stories?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Hot off the presses.
Oh, what's this?
Hot off the presses. This just popped up in my inbox. Exciting news for anyone considering anything to do with mortgages.
How do you get me every time?
Two Bulls in a China Shop is proudly brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She really does take the time with all of her clients to sort out what's best for you and your situation. She's got over 20 years of experience just helping thousands of people purchase, refinance, even amazing reverse mortgages, I've heard.
Careful, Dan. She'll be back.
Yeah. Don't rub the genie bottle, Dan. You don't need a wish right now.
If you say reverse mortgage three times in the mirror, Sue will pop up behind you.
She's licensed in 27 states, so reach out, see what Sue can do for you. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can send her an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, S-P-U-L-L-E-N, and that phone number is 520-977-7904.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is also proud to be affiliated with the Trade Pro Academy. Trade Pro Academy is an educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. They've got a great staff of highly knowledgeable and successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn everything you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. Great way to support the show and improve your own knowledge and skills. And Dan, have you peruse the newest options course, or are you starting that this week?
That's on my to-do list for this week.
Nice.
Yeah, very exciting.
Looking forward to checking that out myself.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, they are always updating their stuff, and it just gets better and better every time. Every time I watch the new stuff, I'm like, oh my goodness, delicious information, learning.
Well, yeah, and both of them just do such a great job with the teaching aspect of it too. They're really good teachers.
Mm-hmm. They genuinely care.
Yep.
They really do. And you know who else cares about you? The awesome Flary and Leo from Order Flow Labs. They were kind enough to share their toolkit for trading futures on Sierra Charts with us. And they care because they want you to have these amazing custom studies. They really are. For structure and execution, you got buy-sell zones, exhaustion, absorption detectors, everybody's favorite reconstructed tape.
Dominator, Job Pinch, liquidity zones.
Great stuff. Oh, yeah, those liquidity zones. You've been having good luck with those, right?
I haven't tried the bot with them yet. I've just been following. Fleary's been doing a challenge with a small account trying to just trade the liquidity zones.
That's awesome. See, yeah, they do that on their Discord. They share all that.
That one was on their YouTube that I jumped in on. When he was streaming some of that. Yeah, their YouTube. They'll post it to the Discord. There's all kinds of good stuff. And they even do a poker tournament on Fridays.
Yeah, just solid, solid guys. If you're trading futures, check out orderflowlabs.com for sure.
Also, we do have them confirmed to come back at the end of March.
Okay.
So if you have questions that you want us to ask, let us know.
Oh, yeah. We'd love to ask them. Love putting people on the spot, for sure.
Yes.
Mr. Flary, is that even your real name?
That's a good question.
Oh, all right, Kyle. Is it time to talk about some stocks?
I think so.
You say you want a ticker that wins. The bell just rung. It's time to get in. Ups drive us wild. Drops drive us crazy.
What do you want to start with?
Oh, well, I feel like it would be I would be unable to think of words that would describe how I would feel if we didn't lead off with Tesla.
Okay, what happened? What happened now?
Well, this is something we've talked about before on the show about his brother,
his amazing trading luck,
his timing on trading.
Yes.
Well, apparently we're not the only ones who noticed. The SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, are now investigating both Musk and his brother for possibly violating insider trading rules.
He sold his shares the day before Elon posted the poll about whether he should, asking whether he should sell 10% of his holdings.
Yes. Which did send the price of Tesla sharply lower. Musk has pushed back, denying wrongdoing.
Oh, yes. Yes,
he told the Financial Times that it's simply more evidence of Stevie grinding his very tiny axe yet again.
This is not the first time Musk has pissed off the SEC. And I don't know what the business strategy is, trying to piss off the regulating company.
Yeah.
or the regulating institution. Why? What do you hope to gain? Like, what's the price of being right in this situation? Even if you are right.
Even if you're right.
Is it worth the price of being right?
I don't give a shit about that bear. I'll poke it all I want.
Yeah.
What's the worst that bear can do? He also... Musk also said that he did not tell his... He doesn't tell his brother shit.
Of course he'd said that.
Specifically, didn't tell him. He didn't know anything about the Twitter poll.
Okay.
Now, something we had surmised was that the Twitter poll was just a way to justify it.
Yeah.
Right, before Musk sold off all those shares.
Oh, you guys told me to sell. Yeah.
You told me to sell. So think of it like this. Like, he tells his brother, like, oh, hey, I've got this fucking tax bill. I need to not tax bill. I have these options, stock options, that are going to expire. I have to exercise them and then sell them to pay the taxes on it. Well, his brother's not an idiot. And he goes, oh, well, I better sell mine before Elon has to sell a giant chunk.
Right. Well, all that information should be out there too, then.
What, the expiring stock options?
Yeah, the options as compensation, usually that's in the SEC filings.
Publicly disclosed?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're not doing anything wrong, and Kimball Musk is just not an idiot and paying more attention.
He just managed to nail it a day before the poll came out? Like, no, that's... If he really knew well beforehand, he would have used the form saying that, hey, I'm going to sell these shares in this, you know, much time. He would have actually used the disclosures. He did not use the disclosures when selling this block.
Yeah, and he is a director at Tesla.
Yeah.
Kimball Musk. So it's not like he's just some guy who owns stock in his brother's company. Like, he's a director.
I gotta say, though, Musk is a good brother. He's taking care of his brother really well, yeah.
None of my brothers have started multi-billion dollar companies and given me a job.
If my brother's listening, like, come on, buddy.
Yeah, come on.
Anytime you want to make $1 million or start a company, just remember this guy.
Just remember old Kyle. Remember all those times we didn't torment you? Yeah.
So what's Tesla stock look like?
Ooh, well, it is at 800. It closed the week at 809.87. I'm looking at the weekly chart. I had a level drawn at 706. It actually dipped down and touched that this week.
Oh yeah, it did.
If I was a Tesla trader watching this week, I would have been really excited when it bounced off that level.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also firmly in between that $900-$700 range drew from the volume profile. I'm still bearish. I mean, it's making, you look at this weekly chart, it's making lower lows and lower highs since October, November last year.
I would agree with that. That 700 is a pretty big level, though.
I think we're going to retest it at least one more time. We'll see how long this rally that we entered on Friday, we'll see how long it lasts.
I've got a smaller level at like 800, pretty much right about where it's at right now. And then I got another one at like 950. 950 to 988, I think that's where I'd be watching for a retest.
Right, before it turns around.
Yeah.
The point of control, I don't know how it's calculated on this TradingView chart. When I go back a month, it's up at 930.
Okay. All right, what else we got? AMD, that's the one I want to talk about. AMD announced an $8 billion stock buyback program.
Oh.
This is in addition to the prior $4 billion buyback program announced in May.
Wow.
Through that earlier program, they've already bought back about $3 billion worth of stock. Funding for this is going to come from their operations. So this is just a way, I guess, to give back some of their earnings to the shareholders. The company doesn't have a termination date, and they aren't obligated to buy any stock back through it, though. So they've announced that they have the ability to do it, but not the obligation to do it.
So they got options on a buyback.
Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. So I guess basically it's just a way to support the price, I guess, if it starts to drop like the banks in Iceland did.
Right, but they were doing buybacks through other companies, shell game.
This one's
like,
at least announced.
Where's the P?
This is the legal way to do that.
Yes.
Well, AMD has still been looking pretty well. No, that's definitely bearish too.
It's a mixed bag.
There's a pretty key support level, pretty much at $100.
Yes.
though, that needs to maintain that in order to have any hope of trying to continue upward. It's been, looks like, bearishly trending down towards that level. It's bounced off it a couple times. That's the level I'd be watching for something to happen.
It got as low as $104, opened at $104 on Thursday.
Yeah, I had a smaller support there. There's a little bit of a volume ledge at that level. Ah, man, it's hard to go long with anything with all the shit that's going on, but the fucking buy volume looks fairly decent. Volume's been increasing in general on this stock.
Mm-hmm.
Semiconductors are still going strong. There are some sanctions against Russia that keeps us from exporting to them chips. So
yeah, and they're a big market. They are a big market for semiconductors.
So that may be a hit in the short term, but they're still eating market share from Intel.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I don't know. It's run up so much in such a short period of time that gotta figure, you know, how high can this thing go?
So I don't know. I've got a line at 124.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just from the volume profile, and I think that's I'm eyeing 124 to hold as resistance.
Yeah, and that's about where the EMA cloud, the 3450 EMA cloud.
Mm-hmm.
If it pops up into that area, that'd be right about where that cloud is at. So, yeah, there should be some pushback from there. There's a bit of a downward trend line that you can kind of draw that would intersect with pretty nicely, too.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at that. Yeah, that would be a good time to get some AMD puts if that resistance holds.
Yeah, I like that. I'll be watching for that, too. What else we got?
Well, motherfucking Foot Locker. Yeah, so Foot Locker, FL.
Foot Locker.
Foot Locker just had an epic drop.
Oh, wow.
I want to say this is the shoe company version of Peloton basically saying we're shutting down production because we don't have customers.
Really? And they posted an earnings beat too.
They did, but their guidance said,
right,
they're not going to be able to sell as many Nike products anymore.
Really?
Nike, from what I understand, I don't think the article went into it, but from what I understand, Nike's making a push to be its own retailer.
Interesting.
And so a company like Foot Locker, if they're not, I mean, Nike is the shoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's they're such a huge chunk of the shoe industry. And if you're a shoe seller making profit off of Nike, and Nike's not going to be pushing their product through your stores anymore.
Yeah, that could be a problem. What do you have left? Vans? Converse,
right? At one point in 2021, Nike was 65% of the shoes going through Foot Locker.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Purchases from Nike shoes, 70% of purchases in Foot Locker were Nike in 2021, 75% in 2020. They're saying it won't exceed 60% this year.
Man, that left such a big gap behind. I mean, it went from 41 down to close at 29.
Yeah.
There's a massive support at 27, where I think if you fall below that,
You're going back to that pandemic dip of March, yeah, 2020. 17.
Into the 20, below 24, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one I'll be watching this one.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of volume selling, too.
Yeah, well, everybody's like, how are you going to make money if you're not pushing Nike?
I would like to see the retest at 31 quarter, I think, and see if it rejects off of that, and then maybe look to pick up puts if it rejects. If it regains that, then maybe you can look at it trying to fill this massive gap. But it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot to be bullish about.
I'm going to pitch something crazy here, Kyle. This just popped into my head because I was thinking, well, Peloton rebounded.
Yeah.
Right? Like they had their fucking sell-off and rebound. What if Foot Locker gets so cheap, Nike goes, hey, we'll buy you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely accelerate their plans if they wanted to become their own distributor.
Right? I don't know. How low would I have to go? This is all speculation town, but that's my favorite thing to do is speculate. So I do like that thought of getting the rebound up to around 33. And if that holds, boom, get some puts. It's going lower. I could easily see Foot Locker getting below 20 for sure.
Yeah. Anything else in stock news you want to touch on?
I just briefly, I will say I did come across an article, not to belabor Ukraine, but there are three companies that are the most exposed, three car companies that are the most exposed to the Russian market.
Uh-huh.
Renault, Hyundai, and Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're worried about companies that are going to lose out on sales from Russia, it's not just semiconductors. We got some car companies too that probably might take a sales hit.
I think I saw something pop up about automakers having some more concerns. But I was immediately drawn to Ford because I thought they've been slow in production again.
Oh, yeah.
Last stock I want to talk about again is Target.
I do like Target.
We've talked about this one fairly often recently, I think. In fact, I think I had it as my bet pick not too long ago. Mm-hmm. It did fall below 200, and I feel like 200 is a massive support on this. It's coming up to retest this, pretty close to hitting it on Friday, but I'll be watching to see what happens at 200, 201, half, somewhere around there.
Yeah, look at that.
And see if this bearish trend continues.
Look at that. Average volume.
They do have earnings coming up on the 1st, though, so you might have to wait to see what happens with those earnings first before you try to do anything.
Oh, I don't know. I like gambling on earnings. It worked for me at Virgin Galactic.
Sometimes.
It's just really hard to give good guidance right now. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons I was like, oh, no, Virgin Galactic's got nothing but good things to say for their guidance,
right,
this earnings call. But, yeah, I would be surprised if Target was like, yeah, supply chain issues, Ukraine, Omicron, sales are fucking going to be amazing, guys.
Well, I mean, that was for Home Depot and Lowe's.
That's true. And like, home prices are sky high. Everybody's building.
Also, everyone's stuck at home doing all those projects that they've been putting off for decades.
Right. Are you going to fix the fence? You don't have any excuses now.
Right.
Shit. I'm not going to fix that fence.
Yeah, so Target's definitely one on my watch list. I'm watching that 200 and 200 to 201 and see how it responds there. And I will be waiting till after earnings, I think, unless Dan talks me into doing something stupid. So that way I can fill out my good, bad, and the ugly for next week.
There you go. There you go. I'm always the culprit, right?
Should we hit some earnings and then move on?
Yeah. Let's talk about some earnings.
All right. On the 28th, we've got Berkshire Hathaway, Neo, Zoom, Hewitt Packard, HPQ. I can't remember the full name of that company. on the 1st, we've got...
HP?
HPQ, yep.
Yeah, we just call them HP now.
What is the Q stamp?
Quintessential.
Okay. On the 1st, we've got Salesforce, Target, Hormel, and Horizon Therapeutics, HZNP, one that we were looking at, I think, last week. On the 2nd, we've got Snowflake, Dollar Tree, American Eagle Outfitters, AEO. On the 3rd, we've got Kroger, Costco, and Titty Bank. I think that's how they say it in Letterkenny.
Titty Bank.
Titty Bank. TD Bank. nothing really on Friday.
I guess it's time to move on and talk about some crypto. Okay.
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy. I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cryptocurrency.
Okay, Kyle, I still haven't gotten rich off of crypto, and Matt Damon fucking promised.
Fortune favors the bold.
I was bold. Fortune did not favor me. No. the big story that I came across was the Bitcoin donations are flooding in to support the Ukrainian military.
That's kind of ironic that I thought I saw that Ukraine like suspended all Bitcoin or crypto transactions.
Last week we were talking about they legalized it.
We did. I thought I saw they suspended it. Yeah. Let me look that up while you're talking about this one.
We had this week $4 million in crypto crowdfunded monies go to Ukraine, and they found that a single donor sent $3 million.
Wow.
And it got me thinking about that idea of crypto enabling such fast cash transfers internationally, and the fact that, I mean, we've got this very real violent war going on, and that someone sitting in their basement in fucking Montana, for all I know, goes, you know what? Fuck Russia. I got some fucking Bitcoin. I bought it back in 2008. I'm a Bitcoin millionaire. Yeah, fucking give him $3 million. Let him buy some fucking rockets and bust up some Russians. That's incredible. That's incredible to me. And I think it's I definitely think Ukrainian groups are going to spend this crypto.
But I guess it kind of fits more here. But not only that, like Anonymous is like targeted Russia too.
Yeah, and China.
Like I think they were releasing like a bunch of fucking shit that they hacked out of like some of the top Russian oligarchs, or I'm not sure what.
Yeah, and they shut down a few state news outlets too.
Oh wow. Nerds of the world unite.
Right.
Ukraine did, by the way, suspend crypto and electronics transactions.
What?
This was on the 24th.
Why?
Putin's special military operation caused major financial uncertainty in Ukraine. To bring more clarity to the situation, informed National Bank of Ukraine informed the local monetary institutions will suspend the issuance and distribution of electronic money. Working on blah blah blah. Fraud access to the ATM supported by cash without restrictions. Local banks suspend the issuance, replenishment, and distribution of electronic money. Such funds usually refer to fiat currencies in digital form. It remains unclear if this extends to cryptocurrencies. Okay, so they maybe, maybe not.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised. I know that there was a Patreon shutdown that somebody had created to get like monthly contributions to send to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And they shut it down because they were like, our rules don't allow for you crowdsourcing money for by arms deals.
I mean, that's literally what it's for, right?
Yeah. They're like, but this is for the people we agree with. Come on.
They're on our side.
They're on our side.
Fuck. I was trying to segue, but it just wasn't coming out naturally.
Okay, how about this? Hey, Kyle, didn't you have a crypto story of your own?
I did. Intel has released the details for its first generation Bonanza Mine accelerator chip. It just started taking orders for it. It's a 3,600 watt mining rig comprising of 300 BMZ1 chips.
Whoa.
So, I mean, this is a chip that's specifically designed like for like mining bitcoins or cryptocurrencies. It's expected to save a ton of energy. Let's see, stacking 300 of these into a 3600 mining rig produces a machine with a system hash rate of 40 terahashes per second. Not quite as powerful as the 198 terahash per second claimed by Bitmain's 5445 watt liquid cooled miner out this summer, but Intel says that their chips are the cleanest and most powerful on the market. So they're losing server share, so I guess why not try to corner the crypto market?
Fine, yeah, get that share somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, good idea. Intel could use something.
That's exactly what the company has to do to survive. I mean, Blockbuster didn't want to change.
Yeah, and rather than, you know, trying to continue to do something that doesn't work or copy somebody else, why not? I like this. I like this for Intel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just so tired, Kyle. I'm going to take a nap. I'm just going to...
Pew, pew!
Ah, God damn it, every time!
You take too much time, Dad. You take too much time.
You think my goal is to shoot you first, but I was just wanting a nap, man. Just laying down. This old West shit is crazy.
If you want to, you should start firing when you do the Supolin read.
Right, that's when you're surprised.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. We're doing the good, the bad, the ugly now, motherfucker. Okay, well, I think I had a couple goods in the week. I had some good trades this week. I managed to trade some options on Virgin Galactic earnings that were profitable.
Yep.
I liked that trade. I thought that was good.
I like that you didn't stick around with it too long, too. You got out like as soon as like the market opened, basically. Took advantage of as much of that Vega as you could.
Yeah, I actually took heat with the Vega burn, mm-hmm. but the stock kept pushing up, so it didn't matter. And that was really good because that was planned out, and I knew it was gambling. But like we talked about, like I really did not. I saw it as a calculated risk, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Like I felt like the probability was in my favor. Like their guidance is going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like this is the quarter where they're opening back up and they're going to start taking bookings. Like their guidance, they're going to be the rosiest they've ever been.
Right.
So yeah, that was my good. What was your good?
My good was my regrouping from my bad on Tuesday. Also, I mean, I completely sat out of futures on Friday. Like, I was feeling like zero confidence, I think, that morning.
Yeah.
So I just ended up staying in sim and didn't lose money. I think if I would have tried to trade, I would have been sitting in a hole.
Well, shit. I guess I should have said my good was I'm stepping away from futures trading. I'm going to focus on options.
Yeah. You didn't talk about your Raytheon trade, too. I thought that one was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I know you struggled with trying to decide whether or not to take profit on that. I think you made the right decision.
Raytheon did finally hit all-time highs, by the way, listener. Like, we have talked about it before. Mm-hmm. And then that trade I made did pay off. I had two sets where in the morning when they hit all-time highs, I sold the first set for, I think, 30%.
Mm-hmm.
20-25% somewhere in there, and then like through the day, yeah, I was on Discord and I was like, hey, I don't know if I should cut this whole thing or I should sit. I mean, it's all-time highs and that's like the golden zone, and then, you know, I've got time. But ultimately, I got in those contracts at $4.50, $4.55, and I sold the first set at $6.10, and then ultimately when it got up to $7, I was like, you know what, even if it breaks 100 in the next week, it's not bad that I go ahead and sell the rest of these at $7.
Right.
That's a big win. Like, no, I don't need to hit 100%.
Yeah.
I don't need to hit 100% to be like, okay, all right, now I can finally take my profit.
I think I did something similar with a day trade on the SPY calls I did on Friday. I sat out of futures. I didn't sit out of all trading.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think I took my profit as quickly as I should have, but I still managed to get out, and then I put the trail on, and that's usually the thing that I forget most of the time, is to put the trail on the remaining position to get out at break even, so that way you pretty much lock in gains. But a lot of times, like, I'll end up with like one or two calls left that I just let ride to nothing, because maybe it'll get more. Nah, usually it doesn't. I mean, the position is still ends up being profitable, but I give back too much. I didn't do that yesterday. And you didn't either. So, fucking good job, man.
Thank you.
What was your bad?
I felt like my bad was how long it took me to realize that I was just burning through my futures account, and then I would take the money I made on options and put it in the futures account and then burn through it. And then I'd take the money I made on options and put it in the futures and then burn through it. That maybe I should take a step away from futures. Like, I love programming bots, but maybe that kept me doing it longer than I should have. But how long it took me to come to the conclusion of, you know what, Dan, do what you're good at,
right? Or at least focus on that. You can always step back to it later too. If you,
so many great people on our Discord, like, you're gonna have the bot that does it, and, you know, then I've gotta start, you know, pop it back up. But yeah, that's the thing. You know, I've got the account. I don't have to delete it.
Right.
You know, anytime I can turn the data feed back on and jump in.
Yeah. And if we do end up working out the bot that does it automatically, because that's ultimately where I want to get to.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, I'm actually
exactly.
I'm seriously tempted to turn our Joel Zone bot on live this week and see how it does.
Yeah. Use Robert R's setup.
Oh, really?
He seems to have the closest one trading those zones.
I don't know. Mine was doing pretty well. I think he just changed it to where... this is going to get...
Yeah. Anyway. What was your bad?
Trading on Tuesday, I strayed away from my plan. I went... I had a kind of a rough morning. Like, just seemed like nothing was working. I stepped away, and then I pretty much went completely off plan. Took three more trades and doubled my loss for the day.
Oof. Oh, gut punch.
Yeah, that was just like, oh, what the fuck am I doing? That's why regrouping from that on Wednesday and Thursday and actually finishing out pretty much close to break even was a good thing for me. But the day would have been profitable if I had, stopped when I was supposed to.
Yeah, risk management.
Yep, it gets you every freaking time. So regrouping was good. Not stopping soon enough was bad. I guess that probably fucking satisfies my ugly, too.
Speaking of risk management, brings to my ugly. I posted it on the Discord. I was like, I'm getting some puts on the SPXS. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna bet that we're gonna bounce.
Yep.
Right. I'm like, this is I felt like the support would hold, right, where the SPY was at, mm-hmm. and where the ES was at. And I did not set up a bracket. I just bought them. Oh, and now I haven't, it's not like it's zero. I'm still in the trade. I still have time. You know, market opens Monday and moves up. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. But if I'd set up a bracket because of the fucking volatility when the market did start going up, I would have been already been out of the trade at like 100% gain.
I think you should probably try to stay away from those like 5 cent options trades too, because it just it needs so much movement to make those actually work. Like, why not cut your position in half and then like get half the amount that you're gonna get and move up the ladder just a little bit more?
Yeah. No, I should. I haven't done one of these in a while. Yeah, I just wanted to.
That's true.
I just had the analysis and I'm like, I'm going to back this up with $40.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, you funny you bring that up. I'm going to set myself a challenge. I'm going to take like maybe $200, $150 and be like, "Okay, here's my tiny account that people could reasonably start with, and I'm gonna trade options, and I'm gonna trade this up.
Try to grow it.
You try to grow it, because nice. That's actually what I've done several times this year, mm-hmm. pulling money out into the futures account and pull it down to $100 or $200, fucking build it up, successfully.
Right.
And yeah. Anyway, so I'm gonna focus on the 5 to 10 cent. Moves. maybe 10 cent or higher, because yeah. commissions are a bitch.
Yep. When you get when that lower. Yep.
Yeah. When you buy them 2 cents a piece and the 66 cent commission ends up being like 40%.
Yeah. That's a big hit anyway. To try to get past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anyway. All right. It's time to make a new bet.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well, I guess for the new month, since I lost the most, I actually gained, by the way, since I had the lowest total win at the end there. You know, I've got a lot that I could choose from. You know, Raytheon's at all-time highs, Chevron's at all-time highs. Mm-hmm. You know, oil and defense are really hot right now. Northrop Grumman, all-time highs. But I saw another one pop up on the all-time high list that I believe is in our friend Ross Klein's portfolio.
Oh.
On ChangeBridge. I'm going to go Chesapeake Energy Corporation. CHK. I'm going to go long.
All right. I like it.
Now, it did occur to me that I could try and call the top and short it, but I'm not going to fight the momentum.
Okay.
I'm going to go long. Take long on Chesapeake.
Stop loss.
Stop loss is going to be at 69. Guess I should load up the one with the volume profile, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, my stop loss is going to be 70.
Okay. Take profit?
I'm going to take profit. I'll sell half at 80. No, I'll take all the profit if it gets to 80 in the week.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably smart. initially, I was thinking about short and target, but the way fucking BP crashed was that basically this week and into some of last week. I like BP for a rebound. It's kind of right in the middle of the channel. I would have liked to get in closer to, you know, 28.5. I think I want to buy half of my position of BP at open on Monday. If it dips below 29, then I'll fill the rest of it.
Okay.
And then I got my stop loss at 28. Take profit at 33.
Wow. All right. I like it.
Yeah, rather than try to put all or nothing in, maybe I'll just do it in tiers.
That's probably wise investing. All right. Oh, got to do random.
All right. One or two?
One.
And one through 12?
Three.
What happened to the dice?
I started playing D&D again. They're in my car.
Oh. All right, PEG. Why does that stock sound so familiar? Is this one you used to trade? Public Service Enterprise Group Incorporated, PEG, PEG.
Yeah, okay. So it definitely did not make a new low here on the daily. Didn't even test 59.
No, it's been in a pretty strong bullish trend, too.
Yeah, it hits 52-week high.
Right in the middle of its channel. It is at the top of a volume profile ledge. That's a good sign for us.
It's true. 60, 65 could hold.
65 is a huge level, actually. All right, maybe this will fall.
They did just have earnings.
And the earnings were pretty much in line.
Sell-off up to earnings, and then earnings has boosted it up. So here we go. I predict it's going up. Fucking random.
Man, I'm going to have to watch this one. If it rejects off of 65, I'll pick up some puts for a quick pullback. If it pops above that.
And if it doesn't, pick up some calls.
Exactly.
It's going to new highs.
Yep. Son of a bitch.
That's actually, yeah, PEG would be a really good one Monday morning to have up and be watching for that critical level, because it does look like and feel like it's going to be a big move one way or the other off that level.
Yep. Oh, fuck you, Randall.
All right, there you have it. We're all going long after Friday, right? Long CHK, long...
Long oil. You're going long energy, I'm going long oil. Random's going long public services.
Okay. All right. That's fun. That's a fun bet. Stay tuned next week. We'll be back at you with those stunning results. Till then, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2BullsInAChinaShop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.